Well, thank you, Abby, for hosting us today. And we spent a lot of time in prayer today, and hopefully you've engaged with that. And in fact, we'd encourage you to maybe even go back over that, because of course this will go up on YouTube, and to use those as prayer points. I think those prayer points are also going to be sent out in our bulletin, so you'll have those there as we pray for such an important part of our church, which is a mission to students. And to be quite honest, we're not even sure how we're going to do that this fall with some of our limitations, but we're working with Geneva and Power to Change and some of the other campus groups just to figure out, as they're figuring it out as well, as we minister together. But just as before we jump into the teaching today, I just thought, let's just take a moment of silence for Afghanistan. Just an atrocious, horrible development there in that country. And many of you know more, a lot more, and understand a lot more about that than I do. But can we just take a moment of silence and just in your heart of hearts, just pray for the people of Afghanistan. And just a pause, I think, would be the right thing to do right now, to pray for that country. And then I'll read from Psalm 10. So let's just take a moment of silence and to pray for this country. Psalm 10, verse 10. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand, forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. Amen. Well, today as we continue in our series, we're doing this series called Notes from the Father, and if you just joined us today, it's a series that is based on yellow cards that my father, who has passed away, wrote on. His kind of his anchor verses of life. And so we're just doing this series where we're pulling out various cards and doing some of those verses that really, I think for a lot of us, represent our anchor verses. Last week, Pastor Jamie did Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so as we continue in that series today, we're going to hear from someone who knew what it was like to be in a really hard place, knew what it was like to be on a rough ride. And some of us, as we've come through this week, perhaps you're sitting down on a couch or listening to this from wherever, and you've come to the end of a very rough week, a hard place. Today I want to talk to you about this simple idea that hard spaces are growth places. That's not a simple little rhyme. That's a profound truth. That hard spaces are growth places. That sometimes when God allows us to go through extremely difficult situations, those places can be where God really grows us. Now, a lot of people, or some people, would say, that's not true. Hard spaces aren't growth places. Some would say, well, hard spaces are where my heart becomes hard. I don't grow. I've become angry. I've become cynical. I've become jaded. I've become barbed. I've become doubtful of God's love. Hard spaces actually create a hard heart. Some would say that. Others would say, you know, God, when I'm in a hard space, like, what did I do that was wrong? Why am I here? I thought I was being obedient, and now I'm in a hard space. But the truth is that sometimes as a Christ follower, we get into hard spaces because of obedience, not just disobedience, but because of obedience. And for some of you today, you might find yourself in a hard space because you're doing the right thing. And that obedience has put you in a hard space. Hard spaces are growth places where God is very near, where God is at work, where God's hand is present in our hard path. Or as one person said, God's grace is present in the grit. Hard spaces are growth places. So as we come to this truth today, we want to anchor it, of course, in God's Word. And this is one of our verses from our series, Notes from the Father, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Now, Paul, of course, knows about hard spaces. He's got the bruises and the scars and the wounds on his back to demonstrate. He knows all about hard spaces. And so he says in verse 16, after writing the first four chapters of this letter to that church in Corinth, so we do not lose heart when we're in hard spaces, when we find ourselves in difficult seasons, we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they pass away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. This is a great verse for our idea today. Hard spaces are growth places. What is your hard space these days? What is the hard thing that God is allowing you to be in these days? Perhaps as you think of a hard space, you think of a person. Oftentimes hard spaces are connected to people. Perhaps you think of a task. Perhaps you're thinking of a team, a hard space. Perhaps you're thinking of an upcoming meeting, engagement, hard spaces. If you were to ask the Apostle Paul, hey, Paul, tell us a little bit about one of your hard spaces. He'd say, well, hard space is dealing with Corinth. It was a messy church. It was a cosmopolitan church. There was heresy. There were false apostles. There was wrong doctrine being taught within the church. Nothing's new. It was full of division. And not only that, the hard space was complicated by the fact that people were accusing the apostle of not being an apostle, of not being worthy to be an apostle. They were accusing Paul of a lack of integrity, a lack of giftedness, hard space. And then on top of that, even some that he trusted had disappointed him. So Paul could tell you all about hard spaces. In fact, if he was to continue to ramble on, he could give you like an image. In fact, he does in our text, but before I share that image with you, just think of your own situation. If you find yourself in a hard space, some of you might say something like, well, being in my heart, this hard space is like, and here's the maybe an image, it's like I've got this immense pressure on my chest, an enormous weight. Or some others might say it's like being in a vice grip and it's just tightening down on both sides. Or it feels like I'm in a really small room, or it feels like wherever I go, there's a dark cloud. Or perhaps here's an illustration. A hard space can be like this elastic band that the longer you stay in that space, the further stretched out you feel. You feel like you're coming to the end of your own resources, and this is a really, really hard space. There are various images that can sometimes help. Well, Paul gives us an image. If you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. There is an image, a treasure in a jar of clay. Now, what's the treasure? Well, the context tells us what the treasure is. Simply put, the treasure is Jesus. But if you look at verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts, there's the treasure, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's the treasure. And then he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. So treasure in these jars of clay. Our bodies, they're mud and they're earth. He's getting at this frailty and this fatigue and this exhaustion. And the lesson is the surpassing power belongs to God, not us. Don't follow clay, follow the treasure. So Paul is saying there's a physical exhaustion, as I'm sure many of you would say as you go through a hard place. There is a physical exhaustion in this space that God has allowed me to be in. There's an emotional fatigue. I mean, there are seasons where staying faithful, pushing through, carrying on can be absolutely exhausting. You have this treasure, Jesus. You're trying to honor the treasure, be obedient to the treasure, but you feel like a jar of clay. So what is your hard space? Think about that again. What's your hard space? Sometimes hard spaces can be, well, conflict. We have conflict with people. Sometimes a hard space can be loss. I remember a couple of years ago, I lost my parents within 4 days of each other. Sometimes hard spaces can be rejection, especially rejection by people who you trusted and now they've canceled you. That's a hard space. Some of you are in that right now. Some of us are in hard spaces because of the load that we carry regarding our work or regarding our families, the burden, the friendship burdens that we carry, that we are going through a difficult season because we love someone so much that their burden is our burden. Their difficulty is our difficulty. Hard spaces, though, are growth places. And so the question is, what do we learn about growth? Well, we come back to verse 16 where it says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, though our physicality, though our bodies are exhausted, though there's a limitation to our physical bodies, our inner self is being renewed day by day. We're being renewed day by day. Paul, this is his testimony. And so what does that renewal look like? Well, notice in verse 4 or verse 8, he says, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Crushed means to squeeze or to force by pressure as so to destroy. Well, we're afflicted, all right, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair or complete loss or absence of hope. And then he goes on. He says, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed, meaning to ruin, to alter the structure of something. So what do you notice here, Paul's saying? He says, I can carry around in me the fatigue and the exhaustion and perhaps even the sense of burnout, the sense of limitation, but simultaneously know and experience the profound work of God. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The word renewal just means to be refreshed in God. And so the idea here is that I spend my energy in this hard space. I come to the end of the day, perhaps my tank is empty, but then God, as I lean into God, as I walk closely with God, Paul is saying he can renew me so that I wake up in the morning again and I can stay in that hard space, which is a growth place, that God is renewing me. Now, this is a really important truth. Just think of this. If there's a hard thing that God is allowing me to go through, if I walk away, if I just quit, if I just say I don't want anything to do with that, then I walk away from that which God may want me to actually be in. And if I walk away, well, then I'm no longer going to be learning. I'm no longer going to be experiencing what God wants me to experience. But it's as God renews me and strengthens me and enables me, I'm actually able to stay faithful to that hard space. And I'm able to embrace it. And I'm able to allow God to use that situation, whatever it is, to actually grow me, to mature me, to perhaps bring repentance in my life, or new understanding, or shape my character, deepen my faith, challenge my perspective. I'm being renewed daily so I can stay engaged with the space that God has allowed me to be in so that I can continue to grow. And it can be oh so uncomfortable. Hard spaces are growth places. And Paul is saying, yeah, the outer part of me, I'm decaying. I'm declining, but I'm being renewed. And that renewal allows me to stay engaged. Now, here's a couple things that I have found as I have been in hard spaces over my life and believing that I want those hard spaces to be growth places, that as I have found myself in those situations, I need people in my life for a number of reasons. I, for example, need people to encourage me. Because sometimes in hard spaces, we discourage ourselves, or we can have wrong tapes that play in our head, like, I'm worthless, I can't do anything well, I will never get from here to there, I should quit, I deserve better, you know, and we have these tapes that play in our head against God, and we need people to speak into our lives words of biblical, sound, theological encouragement as we find ourselves in those hard spaces. I've learned that, I need that. I also need people to tell me how they see me growing. Because sometimes when I'm in a hard space, it's just hard and I'm not very observant of my own growth. And I need people outside of me who can say, hey, Mark, you carried a heavy load in that situation or that situation, but here are the ways that you're growing. Here are my observations of what God is doing in shaping your life. And that can be so, so encouraging. And I also need people to vent with, because hard spaces can produce some pretty raw emotion and some pretty godless thoughts and some pretty godless words. In other words, we'd write our own psalms, right? And we need safe people. We need godly people who we can vent with and we can pour our heart out with. So to process some of the challenge and the difficulty and the questions and perhaps even the anger that we have as we go through those hard spaces. And then finally, I need people in my life because, well, they help me with self-care. They see me, they understand what's being drained from me because of that hard space. And then they can give me wise counsel on, you need to pull back, you need to draw margins, you need to make sure you're in the Word of God, in prayer and healthy community and eating well and sleeping well and taking time for yourself. So that what? That God can renew you and you can stay faithful to that hard space, that God will continue to grow. I need people. You need people. Hard spaces are growth places. But then notice finally in the last two verses, Paul says something that I think is key for going deeper and for God doing a deeper work in us. In fact, what he says next I think is absolutely essential to stay faithful. Remember what Paul said. He said, we are like treasures. We have this treasure, he says, in jars of clay. We are clay, but the treasure is Jesus. Well, for Paul, Jesus was his treasure. Verse 17, he says, for this light momentary affliction, that's quite a statement to make, right? Right when you're in a hard space, don't say, maybe it's not always the best advice to say, hey, it's just light and momentary. Well, it is in his context. For this light and momentary affliction, in comparison to what he's going to talk about, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Here's how I would state verse 17 and 18. We, or Paul, hopefully we are motivated by a greater relationship, which is Christ, verse 17, and inspired by such a much bigger reality when it comes to these hard spaces. Notice, motivated by a greater relationship. Verse 17, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, which is the idea here is something that is absolutely splendid and remarkable in appearance. What could that be? Or better question, who could that be? Well, notice in verse 14, he says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into who? Into Jesus' presence. What does this demonstrate about Paul? What does this tell us about how central Christ was for Paul? His heart was for Jesus, now and forever. Jesus was the eternal reward. The reason Paul did what he did was that the treasure he told people about was his own treasure. So for Paul, being in that hard space and staying faithful had less to do with a contract signed or some kind of obligation to what he'd promised people, and more to do with serving and loving Jesus. His greatest treasure was Jesus. He was serving and loving Jesus and staying faithful to Jesus as Jesus was allowing him to be in that hard space. Jesus was his treasure. We are motivated by a greater relationship as we find ourselves in hard spaces, but also inspired by a much bigger reality. Notice in verse 18, it says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You see, this is a really important point. Today, the secular narratives teach us to live and operate within the imminent frame. Charles Taylor has coined this term, imminent frame. That means that we view everything, our hard spaces, in terms of the material world. There's no transcendence. But notice here what Paul is saying. Paul is saying there is more. In fact, to help us understand verse 18, picture a two-story house. Paul is talking about a two-story house. Humans inhabit the first floor, verse 18. He says, as we look not to the things that are seen, the things that are seen, that's the first floor, right, that we find ourselves in. But this is overlapped with a higher realm on the second floor, verse 18. But to the things that are unseen, that's the second floor in this analogy. This second floor transcendence gives significance beyond this life, while also giving meaning and purpose and direction and perspective to our present life, momentary afflictions. So we look at the hard space from the perspective of our greatest treasure. We look at that hard space from the perspective of Christ, and we see that hard place not just from the first floor, the material world, but we see that hard space from the second floor. This is hugely significant. This is hugely life-transforming. And it was for Paul. See, thus, if we understand this, then we understand that Christians are to do hard spaces differently because of the second floor. And what he says in verse 18, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Christians are to grow and be shaped in ways that might look very different than culture because of the second floor. Christians are to ask different questions because of the second floor. Christians have a different hope because of the second floor. Christians view suffering different because of the second floor. Christians have a totally different framework because of the second floor. Christians have a different model of how to walk through hard spaces because of the second floor, the treasure. And Christians have a second floor book called the Bible that acts like a compass that directs us and shapes us. And Christians have different longings because of the second floor. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, he said this, and this is out of the message. As long as I'm in the body, there's good work for me to do. But if I had to choose right now, I hardly know which I'd choose. Hard choice. The desire to break camp here and be with Christ is powerful because of hard spaces, right? Some days I can think of nothing better on those really difficult days in which that hard space is really, really hard. But most days, because of what you're going through, I'm sure that it is better for me to stick it out here. Hard spaces are growth places. But Paul had a completely different perspective on hard spaces because he didn't view life as just a single floor, but a two-story home where that second level, that transcendence of God, the person of Christ, and the glory of God's kingdom, and the truth of God's kingdom shed light, interacted with his first floor experience of that hard, hard space that Paul had been called to. So as we conclude today, hard places, hard spaces are growth places. Some of us today might just simply need to pray the prayer of refreshing. God, where you have me and where you're allowing me to be right now, really, really hard. And you just need to pray the prayer, Lord, would you refresh me? And it's not enough simply just to pray the prayer, Lord, refresh me. The assumption here is that you're spending time in God's Word, a lot of time in God's Word, that you're spending time in prayer, that you're spending time in Christian community and having conversations. But you need to pray the prayer, Lord, refresh me. And so today, as you listen to this, perhaps there's a particular place that you're thinking, a hard space, and you say, God, would you refresh me so that I can stay faithful and that I can grow in the ways that you want me to grow, even though I'd rather be a million miles away from here. And something else to consider, perhaps you need to open up to someone about that hard space. Some of us are great at keeping secrets. We go through hard spaces all by ourselves, which is really dysfunctional and not biblical at all. And we might need to find people to encourage us, to tell us how they see us growing, to vent with, and to maybe help us with some self-care in this hard, hard space. And maybe also, as we conclude, you just need to think about that statement that we're motivated by a greater relationship and inspired by a bigger reality. And here are some questions for you today on that. How is your treasure shaping and influencing how you are walking through your current hard space? In other words, how is your relationship with Jesus directly impacting your attitude, your response, your words, your thoughts in that hard space? How is Jesus shaping you in that? How does following Jesus and walking through that hard space, how does he, the treasure, make a difference for you? And the second question is, how is the second floor to appeal to the bigger idea? The second floor, the reality of God and his kingdom and the word of God and the spirit of God that lives within us, how is the second floor informing and shaping and giving direction to you as you walk through this season, as you walk through this time in your life? Hard spaces are growth places. Paul believed that to be really true. He said, hey, on the outside, I'm falling apart. I'm decaying. But God's renewing me. And my treasure is Christ. And my vision is for a much bigger kingdom that energizes me as I walk faithfully in the space that God's allowed me to be in. Let's pray. So, Father, today as we bow our heads, realize that there are many that are listening who can easily identify a hard space. In fact, many of us can identify multiple spaces. Lord, would you grant that for each person listening, that these would be places of growth? That these would be places in which Christ shines brilliantly through us? That these would be places where we walk in obedience, where we stay faithful, where we experience your renewal? And that these would be spaces that would draw us into deeper community with others so that we don't go it alone, so that we don't walk it alone. We thank you for Paul's words. And we pray today that you would energize us by this truth in the days ahead. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.